Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Crum Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Open Monday through Saturday until 3, offering 100% whole grain raisin, oatmeal date, and millet breads. Support also comes from Culligan Water of Cache Valley, family-owned and operated for more than 62 years, providing Culligan bottled water, salt delivery, or soft and conditioned water. Hey Culligan Man, service from the man in blue, online at logan.culliganman.com.
Thanks for joining us for Access Utah. We're recapping the 2014 Utah legislative session, which closed last night. And we appreciate the gentleman who joined us now had a late night last night, I assume, and are willing to join us this morning somewhat early, especially given the late night last night. We welcome in Senate Minority Leader Gene Davis. Thanks for joining us for the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And Senate Majority Assistant Whip Peter Knudsen, thanks for joining us.
It's always a pleasure.
Let me start with you, Senator Davis. I want to start with the Medicaid expansion. What did you think of what happened? Essentially, nothing happened. The governor did say he got what he wanted, at least in part. Didn't get his hands tied. He's now going to go negotiate. Looks like a special session. What do you think the prospects of getting Medicaid expansion passed?
I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't move forward with a commitment from the legislature. But the governor does have the ability to go and negotiate and bring it back to the legislature and present to us what he wants. I'm hoping that in his negotiations that we remember the thousands of people, tens of thousands of people here in the state of Utah that don't have access to health care.
And Senator Davis, I believe you ran a bill which would have provided for a pretty expansive expansion of Medicaid.
Yes, total expansion, which would have been the monies for the next 3 years at least would have been monies that came back to us 100% from the federal government to cover up to 138% of poverty. And also after that would have been about a 10% cost to the state. I think the one thing is we keep talking about Medicaid expansion as just being coverage for poor people, and that is true. But we know that our Medicaid rolls expand tremendously during downturns in the economy. And what this will do is provide people who lose their jobs for downturns in the economy the ability to continue to have health care access.
Senator Knudsen, what do you think the prospects are? Well, first of all, what do you think what happened, and do you have concerns about Medicaid expansion?
Well, you know, this is not an issue that just suddenly dropped on our laps. I've served on the task force dealing with the health care issues, and this particular issue, Medicaid expansion, we started talking about that 2 years ago. Our biggest concern from the majority side of the aisle is that if in 2 years the federal government decides to pull the plug, then the state is on the line for continuing that program without the federal dollars at the level that we could receive at this point. So it's an issue that has had a lot of debate, and I guess if I were to characterize it, if we had a clearer picture beyond the next 2 years, I think we could come to an agreement very quickly. But we can't, and so we'll continue to look at this issue. I know the governor is very anxious to do something good for these folks that truly need assistance. With the expansion to 138% of poverty, not all who qualify are truly needy. I'm not saying that they're wealthy. I'm not saying that they're in a snug middle-class position. But they are capable of getting a job that perhaps might even offer benefits, such as health care insurance. So, you know, these are the issues that we have to look at, try to get the emotion off the table, and look at it from a fiscal responsibility as well as a a way of covering people who truly need it.
Senator Davis, do you think something less than 138% of poverty is likely, given some of the concerns raised by Senator Knutson, which I'm sure are shared by others?
You know, I think having the ability to access affordable health care is probably a paramount concern of everyone. We've seen, in my experiences, watching families who have been trying to get on Medicaid or children of their children are on Medicaid. These are people who could be climbing the economic ladder in the state of Utah, but due to the fact of heavy illness or disease in a family member, it forces them to just to be able to afford the care. It forces them into poverty in many ways and prohibits them from growing, because the program is designed only at 100% of poverty, and so there's no ladder for them to climb out economically and be able to find the resources that they need to take care of their family member. Hmm. And that's one of the basic ideas behind the ACA.
We're talking with Senator Gene Davis, Senate Minority Leader, and Senator Peter Knutson, who is the Assistant Majority Whip. Later on the program, we'll have House leaders. We're recapping the 2014 session of the Utah Legislature. Senators, air quality has been a big topic, especially among our listeners. Received less urgency since we've had a better winter. So thankful for that. But at the beginning of the legislative session, there were rallies and many bills introduced, starting with Senator Davis again. Are you satisfied with what came out of the session in terms of air quality?
You know, it was interesting. We came in during those dark, really dirty days in January. And as one rural senator pointed out to me, gosh, take a look outside. Look at that air today. It's clean. Maybe we did something right. Anyway, that was just a lament
from
one of those senators. But I think the thing that we did do, as I look at my list real quick, like, is we passed about four of about 20 clean air bills. Resource stewardship amendments create state job to push government for air quality improvements. We passed a bill for funding for heavy-duty diesel retrofits and encourages the replacement of landscaping maintenance and other equipment, your lawnmower. Energy-efficient tax credits for vehicles, boost tax credits for the purchases to $2,500, that passed. Wood-burning amendments, it gives the Department of Air Quality funding for educating the public and to convert some homes to cleaner natural gas. Those are some of the bills that did pass. Unfortunately, we did not deal with the chilling aspect of the part where we are tied to the federal on and can't really get to those more stringent laws above and beyond what the federal laws are. That continues to be a source of chilling effect on being able to find a Utah solution for cleaner air. The amendments to the transportation funding, which would have allowed cities and counties to ask the voters for an increase in sales tax to pay for mass transit projects, such as purchasing buses. And it was not to increase any more rail, but it was designed to purchase more buses and get more inter-neighborhood or inter-community transportation going.
Senator Knutson, a similar question to you. Are you satisfied with what came out of the session today, and do you think that will meet your constituents' needs?
Well, you know, there were 15 proposed bills which dealt with air quality, and there was a lot of ongoing debate throughout the legislative session. I think the bottom line is there's a growing reality that there are things that we as a state government can do, but there's also a great deal that we as individual citizens can do without having to have the government mandate it. And those are clearly outlined from many different sources. So, you know, it's the old adage, you want to change the world, well, start with yourself. And I think that's true when it comes to clean air measures. But to assume that if we were to be able to expand our regulation beyond what the federal government does, talk about chilling effects based on past performance of the federal government, and of course the expansion of Medicaid is a keen example of it. You have to be cautious, and obviously we are cautious in Utah. There's no question about it. But you know, over the years, and the governor has talked about this continuously, is that 10 years ago our problem was a lot worse than it is today. And I'm not saying, see, we're okay. That isn't what I'm saying. I'm saying that the public has become more aware, and it continues to be even more aware every day. And I think we need to continue along the trail that we started this session, and I suspect we will see some improvements. If I might, I'd like to go back to that Medicaid expansion issue, because there's a point that was not made that I think needs to be made. And that is this, that even though we did nothing, there is a built-in expansion in the Affordable Care Act that we had no control over. And that is that the qualifications to receive Medicaid treatment and the full benefit package of Medicaid has already taken place for a group of people who qualify, who didn't qualify before, but who now qualify. And that will also be an item for our budget, and has been an item of our budget, and that is that we are now covering people at the expanded rate that were not covered before, which comes out to be somewhere around $25 to $30 million a year, which is, for most of our budgets, quite a bit of money. So it isn't that the issue is ignored. There are some built-in safety nets, such as the one I just explained. And so the debate will go on, and I have great faith that we will do something very, very good and beneficial for our citizens.
Just have a few minutes left. I want to turn to education. We'll start with Senator Knutson on this one. Several bills on education. There was an increase in per pupil funding and several other funding mechanisms. Senator Knutson, what do you think about the education budget? Is this sufficient?
Well, you know, Utah has, and we talk about this continually, and that is that we have the largest families in the country. We love our children. I see no indication that we're going to change direction on our families. And so there is a challenge. We're always faced with funding larger numbers of children than most states in our country. And we, I believe, work very diligently every session to try to do our best. The one issue that we always have to deal with, and that is funding the cost of expansion of enrollees. In other words, each year there's an increase in new students. And one of the first things that we do in putting our budget together is fund for that growth. The other thing that we do is to try to increase the value of the weighted pupil unit. And we did that this year again, as we have done in years past. Are we perfect? Oh, my goodness, no. We're a long ways from perfect. But you take it one step at a time, which I know is frustrating for a lot of folks. They'd like to see us solve it instantly and move on to something else. But this isn't the kind of an issue that you can easily put your arms around and solve. But we do, I think, an admirable job each year. And this year, I think we realized that if there was to be a technology expansion, as had been proposed, then funding for other aspects of education would have not been able to be met. They would have been harmed. So I believe that the speaker did the right thing when she decided not to pursue the $100 to $200 million technology project. It isn't that we don't support technology. We do support technology. Utah is one of the most technological savvy states in the country. And that's one of the reasons why we continue to attract new businesses continuously. So it isn't that we haven't done anything, but we know there's huge challenges yet to overcome.
I want to give Senator Davis a chance to respond on education, but I want to get a caller in first. This is Carl in St. George. Carl, glad you called. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, I want to revert back to the expansion of Medicaid. Would that be all right?
That'd be fine.
Okay. I'm at work, so I don't have the exact figures with me, but some 5 or 6 months ago, the Salt Lake Tribune had an article that when the expansion of Medicaid was proposed, the state spent something like $100,000 or $200,000 to do a study to see what kind of direction the state should take with this proposal of expansion of Medicaid. The study came back, and it was reported that the state, if they would expand Medicaid in within 10 years, they could save some, $3 or $4 million in doing it. Now, my question is this. When the state spends this kind of money to get a study by some reputable Eastern firm that tells them which direction to go, why all of this controversy? Why on earth is the governor, and he's the one I wanted to talk to, why is he embarking on this cockamamie fool's errand to go back to Washington to try to propose something else when all he needed to do was follow the study. First year, or first 4 years, I think the federal government picks up 50% of the cost, and after that they pick up 90% of the cost. I mean, how much better does it get? And what are you guys doing? You're trying to reinvent the wheel. Why? Why did you spend the money on the study in the first place if you're not going to follow the recommendations of it?
Okay, Carl, thanks for the question. Let me direct this first to Senator Davis.
Thank you, and thanks to the caller down there in St. George. I really believe that we should have followed the study. I think the study was very well done. But even the governor's task force, which was charged of looking at that study and created the study and then the report back, they actually came up with three or four different ideas to follow after that study. Now, I'm probably biased because I believe we should be doing full expansion in the state of Utah. I think we should be taking those our dollars back, the tax dollars back. They aren't the state's dollars. These are dollars that every individual in the state of Utah has sent to Washington. And this is just money coming back to us for a good care program. And so I believe that, at the end of the day, we may get there, but I think there's a learning curve on how we get there and why it's so important to move forward in that direction. The report itself indicated that it is economic development. And we have to remember that all of these dollars coming back in Medicaid, whether we get it back in a 70-30 split or a 90-10 split, that all of that 90 or that 70 is new money back to the state into our economy. And it grows our economy. Mm-hmm. It's not a drag on the economy. So I'm hopeful that when the governor goes back and tries to negotiate what he wants to negotiate, that at the end of the day we do come back and we say, full expansion is really where we need to be.
We do have House leaders on the line. We'll get to them very briefly. I want to give Senator Knutson finally a chance to respond to Carl's concerns.
Well, I appreciate the gentleman calling in, and he brings up a very good point. And I don't have an excellent answer for it. I do know that from both the efforts of the task force and the members of the House and the members of the Senate and the governor have all worked and struggled to find the best answer to this. We have been shown time and time again that federal promises are not always kept, and that is a thing that concerns us. And I think the Affordable Care Act is a beautiful example of promises that sounded marvelous and then never came to fruition, such as families being able to keep their own physician or choosing their own plan if they want to keep it. Well, a lot of those things just never came to be. People lost their insurance in this healthcare experiment, and they weren't truthful when they brought this forth to the citizens of our country. So we have some hesitation when it comes to the promises that they make of what this program will do. We have to look beyond those target dates that are in place. What happens if they don't carry forth? It's on our shoulders. If you expand Medicaid, which we have to by the law that's in place now, if federal support drops off, it's still on our lap to raise taxes to be able to afford what they call the Affordable Care Act, which to me is an interesting acronym. And that's about it. I think it's a huge challenge, and we're working on it, and we'll continue to work on it. And if we can find some stability in the federal government, maybe that will help.
We'll leave it there with our Senate leaders. We thank very much Senator Gene Davis, Senate Minority Leader, and Senate Majority Assistant Whip Peter Knudsen. Thank you, gentlemen, so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.